I want to start by apologizing. I am not one who should introduce keynotes, because keynotes do not mean much to me. Maybe I sit in the same place that many of you sit, that for the next few hours we will be saying keynotes that mean little to us, and maybe with the help of some explanation, maybe that will help, but quite possibly it may not help. And on some level, we have a very fair excuse. I never experienced Yerushalayim. I can't fathom what it means for a mother to have to eat her babies. I don't really understand what happened in Worms and Mainz. I don't understand what it means to burn Svarim. I don't understand those repercussions. I don't understand when a brother and a sister are forced to sleep with each other. It's very hard for me to bring it down to my level, to 2022. But even the fact that we call it 2022 shows the Churban that we're in. And even when we finally get to the moment of the kinos of the Holocaust, even then it's so hard for us. Because we think the Holocaust was one long movie with wonderful actors, but it's hard to fathom that that was possible. How do we bring this down to our level? Rav Asher Weiss is fond of quoting the Maimer Chazal, which is actually a Yerushalmi in Yuma, on Hey Yom and Aleph, that he says most people very much do not quote correctly because they want to feel good about themselves. Kol dor she'eino nivne b'yamav, most would end off kilu nichra b'yamav. If today the Beis HaMikdash is not rebuilt, today on Yud V'Av, kilu nichra, that gives us a little solace because it has nothing to do with us. Says the Yerushalmi, the correct quote, Kol dor she'eino nivne b'yamav ma'alin alav ha'kosiv ki'ilo hu hechriva. If today our kinos mean nothing and we get nothing from the day and we don't shed a tear, you have destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. You sitting here has destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. You this year, by not bringing the Beis HaMikdash, you destroyed it. You didn't want to bring the Shekhinah into your life. Rashi, Tosfos as well, but Rashi in three places says that the Beis HaMikdash will be Yorid Min HaShemayim. Says Rav Asher Weiss, Im lo zachinu, the Rebbe Shalom says to us, I want it to come down Be'esh, but you're not deserving of it this year. We don't deserve it. And it keeps patching us year after year. It can't be that anybody's sitting here and didn't think for a moment that the rockets that are hitting Israel now, thousands of rockets are going to hit Israel, Rahman al-Utslan. Continues, as I went to sleep at 1 o'clock in the morning, right over Beit Shemesh, Beit Meir, NTSY Kolo. No mamad, no place for them to run. In Beit Meir. You don't wake up for a moment and say this happened on Tisha B'Av Shechalios B'Shabbos. It's a coincidence. We still think about Miron. Donnie Morris. Car accidents that killed so many people. From people. The terrorist attacks. The school shootings that killed Jews. Human beings, the life, the tragedies. Yes, and our own tragedies in our lives. Our own lack of closeness to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's what Kinos is about. Rav Baruch Rosenblum brings a ton of the Be'ayalu that is scary. He says, why was Koiresh Zoyche to start the generation of Paras Umadai, which would rebuild the Beis HaMikdash through, of course, the famous pasuk that Esther was in the background. When the decree was given that the Beis HaMikdash could be rebuilt. You know why? Because as a baby, when Koresh found out, 11 years old, he found out that the Beis HaMikdash had been destroyed. He gave out a krex. He said, "Oy!" Ah, that was his chus. Says the Chofetz Chaim. Says the Chofetz Chaim. That has to mean that 1,954 years later, the oys that we give out three times a day, the Yerushalayim Yerichos that we say don't mean anything to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Because he knows we're not serious. It has to mean that. A guy, Koiresh says an oy, he really meant it. If I told you in the news now the Eiffel Tower fell, if I told you now the Statue of Liberty fell, is that the same oy you would say? We don't feel it. A few weeks ago, I was not zoicha to an incident with the teens. Unfortunately, because of my wife, I was part of it. And I see all the teens together at an incident that they did lying straight to my wife's face. We didn't do it. We didn't do it. I don't know how it happened. It just happened. It just happened. You're telling me that half the tables in the dining room now have curse words on it and middle fingers? It just happened? Nobody did it. No, nobody did. It wasn't me. Can't be me. You can't prove it was me. It wasn't me. That's the way we act. Wasn't me. I am responsible for what happened almost 2,000 years ago? No. Wasn't me. Says the Chofetz Chaim, it was me. Says the Yerushalmi, it was me. Kinos is all about Yiyush. The Bechiya B'Doyrus that happened at the times of the Meraglim was a function of the fact that it was a communal crying. That there was Yiyush. The Kinos is about a Yiyush. About a time in history. Goes out throughout history where there was a Yiyush of Klal Yisrael. A lack of belief in the Ribbono Shel Olam. The contrast that we don't believe in a late Sion. A little bit uplifting. As we'll say at the end of Kinos. We compare the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash to a mother who's in the birth pangs. She's about to have a baby. She's screaming. But what happens at the end? She has a baby. It's the biggest joy in the world. It's the biggest simcha in the world. We have personal tragedies. Everyone sitting here knows on their own level what that personal tragedy is. Maybe their difficulty to relate to the Ribbono Shel Olam. The difficulty, as we pointed out, of not having the same dad, of the dad not turning around to us and saying, "You're shekoyach, I know you're trying." maybe psychological issues that we have, maybe difficulty in being able to get close to the Ribbono Shel Olam through His Torah, maybe our relationship with our parents, our relationship with our spouses. But right now, we don't deserve it. Right now, the Ribbono Shel Olam is saying to us, I don't want you because you're fakers. You don't really want it. And we try to relate. Do you know what it's like for an entire Shabbos, for 25 hours, not to know where your kids are, if they're safe? If my son was called up to the army? And then my daughter's alone in the house by herself? A little bit to relate. Ribbono Shel Olam, where are you? We need to take achrayus. Take responsibility. Do we even care? Do we care that Klal Yisrael now is under war in Eretz Yisrael? Imagine if we were sitting now in Eretz Yisrael, in the back of our minds, we know that we might have to get up in a moment and run somewhere. Do you care about that? Do you care about the people of Sderot who can't say kinos, who have to sit in a bomb shelter without a minion? Do you care about that? Probably not. We just said in the Haftorah, Amo Avda Aretz. The Gemara elaborates in the Darim, Shlo Birchu Batorah Tchila. What does this mean? What does it mean that Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because we didn't say Birchas HaTorah? That's not true. It's Sheker. Sheker Muchlat. We said Birchas HaTorah. There were learning going on in the times of the Beis HaMikdash. They didn't see the Shechina in the Torah. The Rambam points out that they didn't see En Roh HaShars HaShechina because they didn't get a Simcha out of the Torah. The Machaneh Ephraim quotes the Baal Shem Tov, his relative Zman HaChorban. You know what Bo Birchu BaTorah meant? They didn't say the Bracha of Aharevna. They didn't want the Torah to be sweet. They didn't believe in that. It was an intellectual pursuit. It's remarkable that on the day that we commemorate the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, we would think that the biggest tikkun would be Torah. But we're not allowed to learn Torah. We scurry around to see what exactly we can learn. It's not a day of learning Torah. But I challenge you, if you really think, Pekudei Hasharim, Nisam Chilev, really? Do you get a geschmack out of your Torah? You want to know what you can do? Commit yourself to a closest relationship in the Torah. The Torah has to be sweet. We have to have kavanah in the bracha. It has to be a shira. And yes, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of our lack of relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam and our lack of relationship with Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. Because as Zechariah tells us, Soma Raviv and Soma Chamishi, Soma Shvi v'Soma Asira Yiyah L'Beis Yisrael L'Sosel L'Simcha L'Moidim Toivim V'Emes V'Hashalom Avu. It's a tefillah that if we had the Emes V'Shalom, if we actually got along with each other, we would have a Beis HaMikdash. And we often blame Sinas Chinam on the Frum and the Non-Frum. We can't get along with each other. I can't get along with my neighbor. He doesn't understand. You should see what he does on Yom Kippur, but it's not true. It starts in our own homes, where we don't get it together with our brothers, we don't get along with them. It starts with the Satmar Chasidim. The Rav Zalmans and the Rav Moshes don't get along with each other. Which side of Panovich are you on? The Mevs guys against the Nativ guys, the Kolo and the Kobe, you can all make love that you love each other. We know it's not true. You can't even get along with each other. It's the Frum people themselves who don't get along. It's the Lashon Hara that we tell about our neighbor, about our Frum neighbor. about the guy that sits next to you in the Beis Medrash. Kinos is about taking a moment, many moments, and saying to the Rabbanu Shalom, I want to change my life, personally. I don't want to be the one who is Hechru of the Beis HaMikdash this year. I want to experience something called Lifnei Hashem. The Gemara tells us in Chagiga on Daf Yud Gimel, the pasuk in Yeshaya says, Sheish Kanafim, Sheish Kanafim. That there seems to be a machloikis, that the Malachim had six wings, where Yecheskel says they had four wings. Lo kasha, says the Gemara. Kam bezman beis hamikdash haya kayam, kam bezlo beis hamikdash kayam. We need an explanation of this Gemara. What does it mean? Who cares? The Malachim had six wings, they had four wings. Says the Gra, this is a very important. Because on each of the wings of the Malachim, they had the ultimate level of words, the words that we can't even say except on Yom Kippur. Baruch Shem Kivoyd Malchuso Li'olam Vaed. That ultimate reaction to the Ribbono Shelam saying, I believe. The chutzpah, we can't say it. We're not allowed to say it. We have to say it silently. You know which two were taken off, he says, the two wings? Kivod Malchusai. Because we don't have kavod of the Malchus. We don't have kavod of the Malchus. Because I don't believe Avinu Malkeinu. I just believe in the Malkeinu. We're Mechalel Shem Hashem, Shein Kamohu. We don't care what other people say about us. We don't care what we do at Walmart. The Ribbono Shel took away from us Kavod Malchusa in this world. And the tikkun of us not saying today, I destroyed the Beis HaMikdash today. 1954 years, I destroyed it this year, is saying, I'm going to bring Kavod Malchus again back to this world. We spoke a little bit, but I wanted to save this part for Kinos. The trip that I'm zoche to go on every year, the Kiruv trip with Charlie Harari, Avi Shabbat, and there, 300 men, 50 years old, never been to Eretz Yisrael. Charlie gives a speech at Eish HaTorah. And he speaks about the relationship of a father. And he speaks about the time that he was teaching a class in a secular college. And he asked everyone to write down who would they call? Who would they call if they had to make one call, a relationship that they wanted to repair? And everybody started writing their little letters to whoever they would be. And he says, okay, who wants to read out? Who wants to read out what they want to say? And any good professor can look around the room and see the person who's skirmishing, who you know he does not want anything to do with this project. So obviously any good professor calls on that person. He says, you over there. New? He says, I'd rather not speak. He says, I'm sorry, this is a class. This is, you know, you're not going to get credit for this class. And he reads a letter. He says, dear dad, I'm so sorry for not being the son that you should have had. You gave me so much and I gave you such trouble. I gave you such... Dad, please. I'm sorry. I beg of you. I'm so sorry. I want to have that relationship. It's me. It's not you. V'chulu. Charlie looks at him and he says, make the call. Make the call! And all of a sudden, he didn't realize this was going to happen. The entire room says, make the call. Make the call. And the boy starts tearing. He says, I can't do it. And encourage him even more. Make the call. Make the call. And he stands up and he says, I can't do it because my father died 6 months ago. Is that what we have to do? You have to wait another year to make the call to the Rabbanu Shalom? Charlie continues and he says, you have the opportunity now to make the call. We're going to go down for the first time in their lives to the Kotel. And nobody's going to talk from the moment we leave Eish HaTorah to the moment that we hit the Kotel. You're not going to talk to anyone, including the Chabad people who want to put tefillin on. You're going to go straight to the wall, and all I want you to say are two words. Hi, Dad. Because you think of Hashem only as Malkeinu. I'm not a frum Jew. I only go to shul three times a year, maybe two, maybe one. I know that God hates me. He doesn't hate you. He's Avinu Malkeinu. And every year, I am inspired and upset at myself at the same time. As men who are not religious, who haven't been religious for 50 years, start approaching the Kotel, when they see the wall, as we'll say in Kinos, the only thing the Rabbanu Shalom left for us, he promised us he would leave us. And they start crying like babies. And I start crying. But I'm not crying because I feel the Beis HaMikdash. I'm crying because I don't have that relationship. How many times have we gone to the Kotel and treated it as a joke? How many of us, Nebuch Lo Aleinu, went to yeshiva or go to yeshiva right next to the Kotel and don't even go to the Kotel and don't even look out at the Kotel and care? Yes, I admit we're not Rav Nevensal. We can't look at the Kotel every night at Chatzos and cry like a baby and understand what we're missing. We're missing our father. I know we can't. But does it bother us? Does it bother us that it was Kairish or shed a tear, not us? It bothers me that these people are able to cry, that people come up to me and hug me and say, I don't understand why I'm crying. And I say to them, Hashem is speaking to you, the neshama is inside of you. It's crying and saying, I want to come out. It's a lifnei Hashem experience of the Gra. Malchus Ol Yoylam Vayed. We have Malchus Ol Yoylam Vayed. We have those experience of the Kavod Shemayim coming back to us. We have to jump upon them. But sometimes we miss the opportunity. The story about the king who has to banish his son. And what happens? He banishes the son. And the son is away and he sends a servant that will take care of the son. And he gets everything that he needs. But he's not allowed in the king's palace. But the father, the king misses the son so much, he decides he's going to make a big party and invite him back. And he tells the servants, as much as he upset me, if he asks to come back, he's going to come back to the palace. And he gets all ready, the son, and he comes, and everybody's watching this amazing greeting. And he says, Dad, the king, I beg of you, please, can I ask you a few requests? And the king has a big smile and he says, ah, Baruch Hashem. This is it. This is the moment I've been waiting for. He says, Dad, you banish me. He's ready. The king's ready now. Here it comes. He says, but it's been so many years. My bed, it's schwach. Can you get me a nice, silly, posturpedic bed? Can you get me a my pillow? Can you chop me some good stuff? You know, the food I have, the prices have gone up. Can you get me a credit card, a gold card? The king says, are you nuts? What are you asking me for? You idiot. Do you know what your room looks like? What you can have in your room? The bed that you have there? How do you not ask me to come back to the palace? And that's what we do every single day. We ask the Rabbanu Shalom, and we should ask him for mundane things, and it's important. But we don't ask for the one thing that we really, really need. And that's the relationship. Rabbi Yisai, we need to have holy chutzpah. We need to have holy chutzpah. Holy chutzpah is a word that means that we have to be those type of people that do things that are out of our box. We have to be the one who will be zoichas. You know what? I'm going to start a little mishnayos with my friends. I'm going to be the one that does something before davening. Holy chutzpah. I'm going to do something. I'm going to ask my friends. I'm going to have the chutzpah of having rishus from my father maybe to daven in a minyan that's a little bit better. Rav Tuvia Weiss, the Goyin Av Beis Din of Eidah Charedus, just passed away last week. Tremendous God will be Israel. He tells the story of how he escaped the Holocaust. And he tells the story how they knew that the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, were coming into his town, and they said, he was 12 years old at the time, and they said to him, the Rav of the town said, listen, we don't know what's going on. Go to the next large town, I forgot what it was, Pressburg, whatever, and find out what's going on. And he runs to Presbyterian, runs, he gets there. And they tell him, Nebuch lo aleinu, tomorrow the Nazis are coming in, they're going to round everybody up and kill them. They knew what was going to happen. But the Rav of the town says, you look like a nice bacher. I have a present for you. What a present it was. It's a visa to get out of here. The English people know what's going on, and England is allowing a certain amount of Jews. He was able to give out to a few kids. And a 12-year-old turns to his parents and tells him, this is the last time I'm going to see you. You're going to die. His father said, here's your tefillah. You're going to have a bar mitzvah. He said he always remembers the last sandwich his mother made him, knowing that that was the last time he would ever see her. And they come to England, and the Chancellor of England is so chashuv that he saved whatever amount of kids, hundreds of kids, you know, feels so good about himself, so he's going to come visit them. And they explain what's about to happen now. They tell the kids, you better shut your mouth and line up in your most beautiful clothes, and you're going to bow your head when the royal chariot comes through. We're not talking about a story. We're talking about a story from 70 years ago. And he went to one of the guards, whoever was there, and he asked them, try to get out. How do I say thank you in English? I don't speak English. And as everybody's in a line, he's waving. Rav Tuvia Weiss has holy chutzpah. And he runs to the chariot, totally illegal, you can't do this, you can be killed. And he goes up to the chancellor and he says, thank you. And he stops the chariot, and the chancellor is enamored by this little kid. And the holy chutzpah doesn't stop there. And he starts talking in a language that the chancellor doesn't understand. He gets a translator and he says, my mama, my tati, father, my mother, where are they? Avinu! Where? And he says to him, what's their name? And he writes down their name and their lives are saved. Tuvia Weiss tells the story over many others, Rav Bitterman and others tell the story over as the holy chutzpah story. Sometimes we have to go out of our box to see Avinu Malkeinu. I'll end with one of my favorite stories that happened to someone that I know, someone I had the schus of teaching. When I used to work in IDT, so in IDT, it was the opposite of many companies. There were people who would wear yarmulkes because they know it would do them better in the company if they were from. So there was a guy there, and I have 100% rishus to talk about his name. His name is Leon Vax. Leon was a Russian Jew who started coming to the shiurim we would have. I had the schus of giving some of those shiurim. And he started to become frumf. And I sat with Leon once. And I said, Leon, was there a moment? What made you? I always am enamored by people who become religious. What was it? You know, and some people tell the story about the potato kugel that they got one time. A tish they were invited to. I think it's a joke. I hear this over and over again from teens who tell me that their success in their Shana Aleph and Emirtz Hashem for the rest of their lives was the shir that they heard, was coming into this Beis Medrash. Leon says, oh, I know the story 100%. He says, it's a story. Okay. A number of years ago, there was a march on Washington. America was treating Israel, as it knows to do quite well, horribly. And the American citizens wanted to show how much they cared about Israel and should continue their support. So hundreds, not thousands, of buses came down from New York, from New Jersey, from Connecticut, from everywhere. And literally, we went to the Capitol, probably at least 100,000 people. Unfortunately, I don't know why, but the traffic, and they didn't do a good job. And what they did was is that they put everybody, all the buses, at RFK Stadium, and they say, get on the whatever subway over there, and you go. The problem is the subway could fit like a few hundred people, and there were thousands and thousands of people. So on the way back, everybody knew there's no way. We walked back. It was a long walk. It happened to be not through the greatest communities of Washington, D.C., Hamavin Yavin. I remember literally, I was chalishing of thirst. And I remember walking into a bodega there, and everybody had bought out everything, and there only was Colt 45, the beer of those people. And I said, I'd rather die of thirst. So this guy's walking, and we're all walking, and he's not religious. And we know that any event where there's hundreds and thousands of Jews, obviously, Chabad is there. And literally, Chabad was walking with these people and putting tefillin on them. So this guy comes up to Leon and he says, Leon, you want to put tefillin on? He says, actually, I haven't put tefillin on. I can't tell you in how many days, weeks. He had put a tefillin on here and there. He says, but I can't. My group is, I don't want to lose my group. I don't know where I'm going. He says, no, we're Chabad. We know how to put tefillin on people on the go. Don't worry about it, my man. And he starts to put the tefillin on him, making the brachas. And he wasn't paying attention to the traffic, the police who were stopping traffic. And he finds himself in the middle of an intersection. Alone. And there are four police officers who have drawn their guns because they've never seen anybody with tefillin on. And they think that he's a suicide bomber. It's an MS. That did not happen so many years ago. And he said, in my mind, I go back to where I came from, Russia. If you wear tefillin in Russia in public, you get killed. I said, this is it. And he said, I made a stupid comment. And I said, please don't shoot me. I'm just going to join all the Jews over there. I'm going to join them. And I said, oh, this is a suicide bomb. He said, I never felt as close to the Ribbono Shalom as in that moment when I knew I was dying al Kiddush Hashem. And Baruch Hashem, the Chabad guy caught up with him and explained to everyone. And it turned out one of the police officers was Jewish and he put tefillin on him. Okay, fine. Rabbi Isai, we need to capitalize on the moments of Kiddush Hashem. We need to capitalize on these hours when I know it's going to be difficult for everyone sitting here. And we have the great schus of listening to and listen carefully to what people have to say about these kinos. And those that have the kinos, if you look at it in English, I beg of you to read it in English so it means something to you. But I ask to try as much as you can to shed a tear for the Ribbono Shel Olam. To shed a tear that you don't have that relationship that you should have. That the hug every morning you should receive from the Ribbono Shel Olam is not there the way that it should be. And we all have a personal pekulah, and it's those little personal things that changes our lives from Hichri Beis Mikdashenu to I know that I tried this year. I know that I made a commitment. I know that I shed a tear. I know I gave out an oy. I want the Beis HaMikdash. I want that relationship. Please. How many more rockets have to hit Eretz Yisrael? How many more times do we have to say to ourselves, do you understand how many Jews should be dead now? I'm sorry to say this. If there was no Iron Dome, there would be thousands of Jews dead right now. Maybe that would stir somebody here to care. Do you understand what's going on? A Jew doesn't die. 1,000 rockets hit Eretz Yisrael, hit Tel Aviv, hit Beit Meir, Modi'in. What a nace. Do we thank Hashem? Do we say, I don't need the patch of an air raid siren for little kids to cry and not know where to go? Kinos is that cry. Should be zeicha that we could, Amir Hashem, have nechama. But at this raw time where we're on the floor, badad alone, don't check your phones every 5 seconds because that's the only thing that will keep you. Don't fall asleep. Don't get too comfortable. Listen carefully. Read it in English. Think about your own personal relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam and what's lacking. Think about those moments that you're not close enough. Of those moments, Shlo Bircha B'Torah Tchila, that you joke about Torah, that it's not fun for you, that it's not sweet, that you're Mevatel Torah. The Torah is not important to you. The relationship's not important to you. And make a commitment that this Tisha B'Av, that this sitting on the floor until Chatzos is going to be different than every other year of my life.